You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Fantastic to have you here today. I've got Darren Smith from San Diego with me today and all this week, filling in for Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky, who are both out on vacation. 5 o'clock on Tuesday. It's going to be a conversation you're not going to want to miss any Tuesday during football season. Why? Well,
it's good to be the king.
It's really good to be the king, especially Peter King. All of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, and to help make us smarter football fans, we're very happy to announce that Peter King will be joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show every Tuesday at 5. Peter, we're very excited about this. Thank you so much. How you doing?
Everything's going great. How about you guys? Good to be with you.
Everything really is going great over on this side. We're so happy to add you to the lineup of all of our insiders this year. Thanks very much for joining us. A huge season for the 49ers is right around the corner, and I feel that it's going to, Peter, either bring them closer to the grand design that Garoppolo was supposed to represent. The other way in the fork in the road spells not good for a lot of guys who are in a massive year.
No question about it. I mean, when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan got this gig and they signed 6-year contracts, they certainly didn't expect to be entering year three with a lot of people saying, are these the right guys? And look, I am still bullish on them. And I'm still bullish on the 49ers as an organization and a team. I ranked them, when I ranked teams in the offseason, I ranked them in my top 10 in the league. I think they're going to make a big jump this year because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a very good year. Basically, what has happened the first 2 years of the Kyle Shanahan era is that he has had to make major changes in his offense and his offensive philosophy and ultimately his play calling because he didn't have the quarterback in place that he planned to have in place long term. And so there was only at the end of the 17 season, he had 1 month with Garoppolo, and last year he basically had 2 or 3 weeks. So this is a golden year for the 49ers, in my opinion, because we're going to be able to see what Kyle Shanahan has in Jimmy Garoppolo and what Jimmy Garoppolo can do over the long haul. I am not like, I think, a lot of my peers in this business. And I say this with all due respect because obviously we're all going to disagree on things. But I think one of the most dangerous things you can do in trying to project how teams are going to do the next year is to look at what they did last year just in a vacuum and look at just the raw numbers. And I think the 49ers are going to be better and significantly better because, and look, nobody can predict quarterback health. But Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers last year were the absolute outliers in the quarterback situation around the NFL. In 2017, starting quarterbacks in the NFL missed 111 combined starts. In 2018, starting quarterbacks in the NFL missed 60 starts. And, I mean, think about it. Basically, Jimmy Garoppolo was a fifth of those.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to me, they were the outlier last year, and if they had Garoppolo for 16 games, I think they would have been knocking on the door in December.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. We're thrilled to have him aboard as an NFL insider. He is, of course, with NBC Sports and one of the biggest names in the entire world of football. And you launched a brand new podcast today with Peyton Manning. We're going to go ahead and ask you about that big guest that you had on and his future, possibly in a team's front office. Nick Bosa, Still hasn't signed. Not everybody signed yet, so it's not like an urgent thing. However, we have his brother as possibly a foreshadowing of a longer holdout that could drift into the regular season. Does Joey Bosa's holdout speak for Nick Bosa's situation, Peter?
I doubt it. I wouldn't be all that concerned about it. You know, first of all, I'd really only be worried about Nick Bosa for the reason of his health. You know, two of the last four seasons, you know, he didn't finish them because of injury. And, you know, so you can say that that's fluky. You can say that that's something to be concerned about. I just think I think people need to see Nick Bosa, and you look at his brother, who's had injury issues. So, in my opinion, I just think you need to see Bosa play 16 games. The same thing. I mean, the two biggest questions on the Niners, with all due respect to, you know, people like Jerick McKinnon and others, I think the two biggest questions are going to be how many games, basically, can Bosa and Garoppolo play. If they both play 14, 15, 16 games, this team has got an excellent chance to be a playoff team. And if they don't, then, you know, they're going to have to scratch and claw every week.
Following 17 wins over the past four seasons, bullish might mean different things to different people. So, Peter, I would ask you then, your definition of bullish would be what? We've heard, hey, they better win 10. It better be a postseason team. Maybe 8-8. Maybe just getting out of the cellar. What would you say?
49ers are going to make the playoffs. I think that, you know, again, I can't. It's hard to say that in a vacuum. If Jimmy Garoppolo slips on a banana peel in September, they're not making the playoffs. But I don't think that you look at Jimmy Garoppolo the same way that I don't think you look at Carson Wentz necessarily and say, well, you know, they're doomed to a life of being injury prone. When I first moved to New York in 1985 to cover the New York Giants, when I got there, a lot of people in New York thought that Phil Sims, you know, was an injury prone player. He had been injured in four of his first 5 years in the NFL. And I think people were not sure whether he could be an Iron Man type of player, and that's what he turned into. And that's why, to me, when I look at this now, I don't say that Garoppolo's injury prone, like I don't say Carson Wentz is injury prone. Now, having said that, I think you got to prove. They have to prove that they can stay upright. But I believe, in my opinion, if Garoppolo plays 16 games this year, I'm picking the 49ers to go to the playoffs.
Peter King, that sounds really good. We'll see if it actually happens. There's so much that needs to happen between now and then. In terms of pressure, and we know that every single coach, every single quarterback is basically looking at a four-year window, which you got to get to a Super Bowl, or they're going to start looking over your shoulder for your replacement. Garoppolo, Shanahan, or Lynch? Do you want to draw straws to see who's under the most pressure here? And given the out clauses that Parag Marate has made in Garoppolo's contract, might it be him, Peter?
You know, I really don't know how to answer that question. I think that if he plays poorly in a 16-game season, the 49ers are going to be questioning their investment in him. But, you know, if you look at the life of Jimmy Garoppolo as a player, he doesn't have a huge resume to look at. But when he has played, he's played somewhere between B and A-minus football consistently. So that's why I would, and especially, you know, with Kyle Shanahan as his coach, play designer and play caller. It's, you know, again, who's under the most pressure? If this team goes 6-10, they're all under a lot of pressure. But as I say, it's very hard for me to envision them having a lousy year if Jimmy Garoppolo plays 16 weeks.
So in addition to the Niners ascending in the NFC West, this was a division last year, Peter, as you know and as everybody knows, that sent two teams to the postseason, the Rams, who represented the conference and the Seahawks. So if you see the Niners ascending, who might you see in the division descending?
Well, I like the Rams still, and I like the Seahawks still, because I think the Seahawks have answered an awful lot of questions about what ailed them. Now, the interesting thing about the Rams, in my opinion, this is a team that clearly wants to run and will run the football. I just don't know quite with whom, because we need to see Todd Gurley do it again. I think he probably will, but there's no guarantee that he will. And I think also that Aaron Donald needs help in that front seven. I mean, you know, he was arguably the best player at his position, at any position in football last year. You know, with 20 and a half sacks, with the amount of attention paid to him, is just totally, totally ridiculous. And so to me, I think when I look at the Rams, I think the key guy on the Rams, and you may laugh, I think the key guy is Dante Fowler Jr. He is the guy who they are going to expect, you know, to produce the sort of edge rush that they have lacked in the time that, you know, that this new regime has been in place. I mean, this team went 13-3 last year without any sort of edge play on defense. And so that's an important thing to add. And as far as the Seahawks go, look, I mean, the Seahawks went 10-6, and they had some bad days, you know, when you look at it. You know, their defense was very, very brittle in both of their losses to the Rams last year. They got smoked in both those games. They lost a game to the 49ers in December that really could have cost them. But luckily for them, they came back the next week and beat the Chiefs. So this is a team that's capable on a given Sunday of being really, really good. How will they react to the loss of Doug Baldwin, both in their locker room and on the field? I think he's been one of the most underrated, unsung players in the NFL over the last few years. He is going to be very, very missed, I believe, on that team. So, you know, we'll see how Metcalf comes in and what he can contribute as a rookie. But to me, I look at this. To me, I think that the 49ers are every bit, if Garoppolo stays healthy, I think the 49ers are every bit in Seattle's league. And I think it's going to be a battle for one of those two teams for second place in that division. I think they'll both be in the 10-11 win area if Garoppolo stays upright.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. As we watch the Niners try to improve, turning the ball over with their defense, getting to the quarterback, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Dee Ford, who was the big prize in free agency. I think there's also going to be a lot of eyes on Solomon Thomas, who we all know was dealing with a personal tragedy and has not exactly hit the ground running in football. A third year for him seems incredibly pivotal here. And I'm still not sure if there's a player to be mined there or if he's going to be a late bloomer and still very good. I mean, he was a very good college football player and felt worthy of the number two overall, but has not played up to that.
You're absolutely right. I think this is a huge year for Solomon Thomas. And, you know, you're right. I think Dee Ford, I think the interesting thing about what we saw to Dee Ford last year, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, obviously everybody looks at him. He had 13 sacks a year ago, and everybody thought that he was really sort of emerging, you know, as one of the best young pass rushers in the league. He came out from, he was a total non-factor in 2017. And last year he was much more of a factor. You know, what is interesting to me about Dee Ford is that, you know, Andy Reid in the last 2 years has basically put Marcus Peters and Dee Ford on the block. Okay. Now Marcus Peters had some good days for the Rams. but he also had some very shaky days. And Dee Ford, put on the market by Andy Reid. If I am Dee Ford, and this is going to be very interesting to see how he reacts, but if I am Dee Ford, what I am thinking is Andy Reid thought that I wasn't good enough to be part of a Super Bowl team. And, you know, that to me would be a major piece of motivation for him this year. And so I think that's going to be a huge thing to watch this year, because in my opinion, look, I think we all would look at the way Ford played last year and we would all say that he's very worthy of what this team paid for him. But he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to prove it a second year.
The best wide receiver in the Bay Area is probably Antonio Brown over the bridge with the Raiders. Hands down, though, the best tight end is George Kittle. And he's not just knocking on best tight end in the Bay Area. He's knocking on that best tight end in the NFL door. Peter, what do you expect out of his junior year in the league?
You know, to me, I last year I had a very difficult time when I came to choosing my all-pro tight end, because there were a lot of good candidates last year. But when I looked at the season from start to finish, and I looked to a guy who was so on the rise when I filled out my ballot, I ended up picking George Kittle. And it wasn't just because of his whatever it was, 85, 88, whatever it was, catches. You know, you look at the kind of threat that he was. And when you're a tight end and you average more than 15 yards a reception, which he did, that is a wide receiver number. I remember one of the things that really helped me or really helped make my decision, I looked at the end of the year, and I forget exactly what Kittle was. He was 15-point-something. But Zach Ertz was 10 yards per reception, exactly. And even though Ertz had, whatever he had, 25 more catches than Kittle, Kittle had significantly more yards and 5 yards or so more yards per catch. And again, this is in no way a criticism of Zach Ertz. I love the guy. I love the player. And I think he's going to be good for a long time. But I just thought that George Kittle was such a massive weapon all over the field for the Niners that, I mean, imagine what he's going to be like with a quarterback, who in an ideal world, you know, if he's targeted 130 times this year, he ought to have 105 catches. There's not going to be a lot of balls hitting the ground thrown to George Kittle. So I'd be very excited if I was a Niners fan that, you know, we might be seeing the birth of the best tight end in franchise history.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game, loving George Kittle's chances to have another big year coming up. The four words I like the least in football are Raiders moving Las Vegas. The four words I think I might like the most are Raiders are on Hard Knocks. I mean, that will be fun. That's worth the HBO monthly subscription right there, Peter. Do you think Antonio Brown, John Gruden, are going to breathe life back into Derek Carr's career here? Because the honeymoon felt like it ended last year, and we know that John Gruden is quick to divorce from a quarterback he's lost faith in.
I think that's a really interesting question. And, you know, I think we all tend to think, wow, you know, Carr really wasn't that good last year. And you kept hearing these stories that maybe Gruden would look at Kyler Murray, and certainly he was in love with Kyler Murray. But anyway, I went back before I talked to Gruden. I was in Oakland the day after the draft on that Friday and spent, I don't know, maybe a half hour with Gruden. And I look at it, and look, in modern day football, if you're a quarterback who's over 4,000 yards, that's not that big a deal, okay? And he does have to throw more touchdowns, and I will be shocked with Antonio Brown if he doesn't throw more touchdowns. But again, I think you really have to be careful, almost be careful what you wish for. If you think about going to change quarterbacks from Derek Carr, I guess I would make a couple of points. I've had several conversations with Chris Sims, who is one of my peers at NBC now, and obviously he was a quarterback for John Gruden in Tampa. And I thought what was really interesting in one of the things he said is that he said, look, he soured on me, and you know he does sour on quarterbacks sometimes. And so, look, I think that's going to be something that everybody is always going to look for. But let's talk about Hard Knocks for a second. I think the whole Hard Knocks thing is something absolutely unequivocally John Gruden didn't want. People I know at ESPN tell me that he used to rail against Hard Knocks and how bad it was and how much he hated it. So clearly he didn't want that. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have no choice about things, and the Raiders had no choice about this. But I will just make one point that I've said to some people about this, and I said to one person who spends quite a bit of time around the Raiders, and I said, listen, a few years ago, the Bengals had Hard Knocks. And I walked into Marvin Lewis's office during training camp. And Marvin Lewis basically opened a door to a closet that shielded a camera in his office. And then he took a towel and he put the towel over a microphone that was near us on a table. So, in essence, Marvin Lewis, wanted to have a conversation with me that wasn't going to appear, any segment of it was not going to appear on Hard Knocks. And all I'm saying, I'm not trying to give John Gruden a game plan, but, you know, there's a lot that a team can do to filter Hard Knocks and filter the cameras and the microphones. And, you know, I know of one other team that a coach had, I'm going to exaggerate, kind of had a safe room. And when he wanted to have a conversation, either with a player or a coach, that's where they went during training camp. So, you know, this is going to be told to be no holds barred. We have everything. We're showing everything. And the bottom line is, I don't think that you have to show everything in Hard Knocks, and I think John Gruden will do what he can quietly without telling anybody, and he'll do what he can to avoid the Klieg lights of Hard Knocks.
Peter, you recently recorded a podcast with Peyton Manning before we let you go, and I've always been fascinated by post-playing Peyton Manning and what his plans are. He mentioned that he was contacted by a couple of NFL franchises and asked if he had interest in stepping in and running the show.
Right.
You think someday, do we see Peyton Manning? Maybe I mean, he's great on television, but what do you think the future is for Peyton Manning? How seriously did he take those options?
What's really interesting about Manning is that, I mean, look, he's a very good card player, but I asked him about four different ways about his future, both on microphone and off. And I truly think he is looking at his life right now and saying, I got two very young kids. I like going to their flag football and T-ball and baseball games, whatever there are. I like driving them to school. I like doing all these other things that for so many years, you know, I had to, even though his kids were very, very young when his career ended. I think he feels like if he ever did the John Lynch thing, he knows that he would have to totally, absolutely throw himself into it almost the same way he did as a quarterback. He just doesn't want to do that right now. I'm sure his wife and his family do not want him doing that either. Will he ever do it? I don't think he knows. What was interesting about the time I spent with Manning is that I met him about 6 weeks ago in Chicago and spent a day with him while he prepared his new show. He's going to have a show on ESPN Plus called Peyton's Places, 30 episodes in which there are these episodes that go from about 15 to 28 minutes long where he looks at NFL history in a weird, irreverent way. He ran the hill with Jerry Rice that Jerry Rice used to train on. So he did a lot of stuff that is really kind of out of the ordinary. But in talking to him, he threw himself into it to the point where, you know, he knew stories about the day that the NFL was formed at a car dealership in Canton, Ohio. And I mean, so whatever he's going to do, he's going to throw himself into it. And on the podcast, you'll love hearing some of his stories about the things he's found out about the 100 years of NFL history. My favorite one of all is his story about Elvis Presley and going to Graceland and realizing that Elvis Presley was one of the biggest football nerds on the planet and that he used to have multiple TVs in his house before the era of satellite, just so that if in Memphis on the CBS affiliate and the NBC affiliate, he'd be able to watch the AFL games on one channel, the NFL games on the other. It's just, he was a nut job about football and used to outfit touch football teams in the uniforms of NFL teams. And they used to go out and play games. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that today is turning on Peyton Manning. How long will that stuff last? Will he have another project like that next year? I don't think he knows. I certainly don't know. But I think one day he'll run a team. One day he may own a team if he can find a sugar daddy like Steve Ballmer or one of those guys who could be a bit of a silent partner and let him, like Elway, a team over the next few years. But I think that time is a little bit away from here. And one other thing, I think, you know, if I were an NFL owner, when Al Lerner brought in Carmen Policy, he brought in Carmen Policy to be his team president to run his franchise. You know, I think it was 1999 when the Cleveland Browns came back. And remember what he did to basically, to basically woo Carmen Policy. He not only paid him a big salary, but he also gave him 10% of the team. So that when Carmen Policy left that team, and I've never asked him directly this question, but Carmen Policy owns a lovely vineyard in Yountville right
now. Oh, yeah.
And Casa Piena is his wine, and it is absolutely phenomenal.
Look at you.
The people who rate wines love his wine. And I'm not sure that ever, you know, having a world premiere wine would have been possible without his deal with Al Lerner in 1999 with the Browns. But so I wouldn't be surprised if somebody throws around a piece of the franchise to try to convince Peyton Manning to come and run the show for him.
Peter King, we even got a story about Elvis the King while we're making our maiden voyage with you here on the Damon Bruce Show. Thank you very much, Peter. Great stuff all around. We're looking forward to our conversation with you each and every week during football season. I know I said we're going to do it every Tuesday. I guess it hasn't been quite nailed down when we're going to be doing it, but we're going to be doing it weekly, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. Thank you so much for stopping by. When we make your official station open, I know you're a huge Springsteen fan. Might I suggest to our imaging guys we use 10th Avenue Freezeout?
That's fantastic. I mean, you could use about 58 songs, and I'd be happy with any one of them.
I've always been a sucker for 10th Avenue.
Just don't use Nebraska. A little bit depressing.
Deal. I can guaranteed. Thank you very much, Peter. Looking forward to this season and speaking with you.
Sounds great, guys. You take care.
Great stuff from Peter King. Awesome stuff. It's going to be a great conversation all football season long with a guy who is literally literally the most dialed in media member of the sport. I'm guessing it'd be like, so you cover the NBA. Would you like to talk to Adrian Wojnarowski? Yeah. If you cover the NFL, would you like to talk to Peter King? Yeah, I'll do that. We're very, very happy to have him aboard. What we've got is a Tuesday trifecta. I'm going to ask you to call in sight unseen right now. I'm asking you to bet before the flop. I will set it up after Elena has an update. Tuesday trifecta is going to begin next. Our topic today is be honest. Let's see who wants to bet before I even show you your hold cards or the flop. 888-957-9570 to get in line for the trifecta. Right now, Elena, do it.
Back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I got to be honest with the audience. I've never been more proud of you. I don't think I've ever been more proud of a gimmick or a segment because I told you we were asking you to go all in before the flop. By the way, World Series of Poker is kind of turning down. We're at the final table, right?
Yeah, I think so. Going for the bracelet.
Big money. Big money up for grabs. Tuesday trifecta. Every single one of our lines is occupied right now. God, I freaking love all of you. I've got Darren Smith in from San Diego with me all week. He has never trifected before. He's like, what the hell is this? You know what this is for Ray Ratto? 20 minutes off. So you just basically need to, yeah, you just
I'll
relax. Just, yeah. Ray has done that. Today's topic is be honest. Boy, I hope that's an easy thing to do for every listener of the Damon Bruce Show. Be honest. Question number one. The rest of this baseball season or the beginning of the next NBA season, which are you more interested in? Be honest. Question number two. The best place to get sports news is blank. The worst place to get sports news is blank. Finally, our third and final question for today's Tuesday trifecta. What is the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia that you own? Now, it can either be something that you bought, something that was left to you, or something that you actually earned in whatever athletic career you had. I have one. Darren, I'm going to set up an example, a user-friendly example. And I took a picture because I didn't want you to think that I was telling tales out of school. I wanted to be able to prove to you that my junior varsity football team in 1991, I went to Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons High School. The plaque, which is the size of a coaster that you would put a beer on, that commemorated our 0-8 season, whatever it was, we did not win a single game. On the minuscule plaque, it says, not the correct spelling or name of our high school, NDBG. It says BGND. 1991, against all odds, we survived. It's the single most pathetic tribute to a season of in the history of pathetic tributes.
And you still own this?
Yes, it's hung proudly on my workbench.
Is that right?
Because it's
good on
so
you.
Ridiculous.
No, so that wasn't one of the – you didn't have to compromise on that and say, okay, I will part ways with this like I would do my Letterman's jacket. You didn't have that conversation.
No, but okay. This is literally the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia I own. Maybe for you – it's a Jamarcus Russell jersey. We're all going to find out together as we begin our Tuesday trifecta. Hit it, Elena.
Suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday trifecta. One topic, three questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
It is fantastic to have you here, and here's how the Tuesday trifecta works. When somebody drops, you can jump on their line, 888-957-9570. I got Josh in Alameda. Josh, are you ready to be today's guinea pig?
All right, I'll try my best.
I'm wishing you the best of luck, Josh. All you got to do here for today's trifecta is to be honest. Be honest. What are you looking forward to, the end of baseball's regular season or the beginning of the next NBA season? What are you more interested in?
That's actually a hard question for me, but I think being an Oakland A's fan, I would take the baseball season. They're just playing too good right now.
The best place to get sports news is blank. What is the worst?
I'd say they're both the same. I would just say Twitter.
it properly does answer both questions. Most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you own, Josh, what is it?
I have a 2016 Golden State Warriors NBA championship bootleg hat that I still own.
Nice.
I feel like I jinxed them when I bought it.
Yeah, it probably is your fault. It had nothing to do with Draymond's suspension or Bogut's injury. Damn you, Josh. Damn you. Thank you very much for the call. No matter what you did to the Warriors, you handled your trifecta like a champ.
By the way, that was my answer on the second question there about where the best and worst places to get sports news. So
Twitter.
Say kudos. Yes, we might be kindred spirits here because that is simultaneously the best and worst thing going on in the world right now.
So when you found out that Kevin Durant was letting NBA teams know on Instagram that he was signing with them, was that the best or the worst thing that ever happened?
Yes.
Thank you. Greg Fremont. Thank you, Greg. What are you more interested in, be honest, the rest of the baseball season or the beginning of the next basketball season? Oh, Greg and Fremont, where are you? Liebchen, hello? Guess not. We go to Trey Scher. Trey Scher? Is I got that right in Oakland?
Yep.
Trey Scher, thank you. Yep. Thank you for calling, man.
That's right.
What are you looking forward to more, the rest of the baseball year or the next basketball year?
Easy. The next basketball season.
Best place to get sports news. What do you think is the worst?
Ooh, the worst. Huh. I think I might have to steal this one and go like Twitter.
We just had a Twitter answer, but you know what? It is semi-correct, so we'll allow it one more time here. What is the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia, Trey Scher, in your closet?
I'm about to embarrass myself. I have an award for second place in a 3-point contest, and it just so happened there were only two of us in my age group.
Oh well, but hey, they had to give it to somebody, and technically that somebody was you. Second place in a 2-man contest. So in other words, you lost. You have a commemorative plaque. Look, if my JV football team can get a plaque for 0-8. You can go plaque for 0-3, or
yeah,
whatever it was.
Right.
We got Dave in the South Bay. Dave, thank you very much for the call. You can hop on the line, 888-957-9570. Be honest, Dave. What are you more looking forward to, the rest of baseball or the next basketball season?
Easy. Basketball.
Best place to get your sports news is what? What do you think is the worst place?
I'm going to go best place. I'm going to say Bleacher Report. Very accessible, and you get alerts all the time. Worst place, I hate to say, but ESPN. Other than Woj, they're a day late and a dollar short these days on the news.
Dave, what's the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you got?
I'm not going to say it's the most embarrassing, but it's the one that hurts me is my authentic Terrell Owens jersey when he was on the Mariners. It was his last year. I bought it before the season. It was over $300, and he hasn't been on the team since. He's been on 5 teams since the night. So,
ouch. Ouch, Dave. I'm so sorry. So sorry. This is Sam in Brooklyn. Oh, no sleep till. Thank you very much. Is it a buddy of yours?
No. Maybe no? Rich Aurelia's, though.
There you go. Yeah. How's St. John's looking this year, Sam?
I wouldn't know. It's Brentwood, not Brooklyn.
Oh, sorry. We're
missed
way
it by
off.
That much.
Yeah, just the
close.
Just the entire width of the United States of America is all we missed that by. Be honest. Thank you very much. You're certainly well on your way, Sam. The rest of the baseball season or next NBA season, what are you more looking forward to?
Oh, it's got to be baseball season. The A's are making the playoffs and making a run for the World Series.
Best place to get your sports news, what do you think? What's the worst?
Best place, Twitter. Worst place, ESPN by far.
Wow. A couple shots at the mighty four letters. The most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you got, Sam. What is it?
Similar to yours. 0-10 Pee Wee football coaching season. And our motto was hit, lock, and drive. But instead on the trophy, it said hit, lock, and dive.
Phenomenal. And you were the coach, so you're 0-10 responsible, huh?
I am 0-10 fully responsible for ruining the football careers of at least 20 children.
way to go, Sam. Phenomenal. Kevin in San Francisco is next in line. Kevin, thank you very much for calling the Tuesday Trifecta. Our topic today is Be Honest. The rest of the baseball season or the next basketball season, what's got your blood up?
Easily, with all the shakeups, next year's basketball season.
What's the best place to get your sports news? What's the worst?
The best place is the SleeperBot app. The worst place, Stephen A. Smith, if you can call that news.
Yeah, that's kind of more screaming about the Knicks at this point, isn't it?
Screaming A.
Yeah.
Third and final question for you. Kevin, most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you got?
I caught a 10-plus-year-old T-shirt from the We Believe Warriors with Believe spelled wrong. I bought outside the BART station.
Nice. I before E. There, remember, in every Believe, there's a lie. That's how I remember to spell it. B-E-L-I-E-V-E. I always screwed it up until someone said, in every Believe, there's a lie.
Well, that's a good novelty. You could probably command a couple of bucks for that. I mean, that's unique, right?
Well, it would have been better if it had been like authentic NBA merch.
True.
Poorly spelled BART station knockoffs are probably not that hard to find.
Right. If it was some colossal screw up where you're like, oh, wow, there are thousands of these things produced.
Right. Everybody, everybody rolling around in Walnut Creek has got a misspelled We Believe shirt. This is Jared giving us a call from the town. Jared, thank you very much. Be honest, the rest of this baseball year or next NBA?
A's winning the West.
Best place to get your sports news. What's the worst?
Don't really have a best. Worst would be KNBR.
Most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you got?
A baseball signed by the complete 1989 San Francisco Giants.
That's not bad, though. Like, were you a kid when you got it? You weren't embarrassed that day, right?
Oh, it was a birthday present, someone that were Giants fans gave to me. I acted happy, but sad inside.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sounds like an A's fan didn't like that at all. Did you ever, as a kid, get an autograph? Who was your first autograph?
I could tell you who my
my first autograph is kind of an embarrassing first autograph.
Yeah, I was never really much of an autograph guy. I will tell you, though, and this is funny that this is being brought up here in this capacity, because I seriously will say, like, the last autograph that I got, there were three of them. I was here way back when in my ESPN days, what we were talking about earlier, where I was working for a radio show that picked up a San Francisco area, a Bay Area affiliate, and we did a show with Mays and McCovey and Cepeda. And I said, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. And I had a baseball bat. I went and bought a bat. It was one of the first seasons at Pac Bell, AT&T, obviously. And I went and I had those three guys sign it. And I will tell you, that's the last autograph that I can remember getting, with those three guys on a baseball bat, which currently sits in my closet.
Well, you might as well stop right there, because you're not going to get much better than that.
No,
right?
No. And, I've always said, well, I wonder even at one point, like, do I go for Bonds? Do I get him? No, I'll just leave it alone with that. But I saw it right before I came up here. That was the last time. So we're going on almost 20 years since I asked for an autograph.
The first and only major leaguer I ever leaned over a railing and got a ball signed by was Jose Vizcaíno one night at Shea Stadium.
Wow.
When the Cubs were in town. Jose Vizcaíno. I'm like, well, it's all downhill from there. So we're just going to, that's going to be the beginning and the end of my.
Still have it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do still have that Jose Vizcaíno ball. And someone gave me a Mark Grace autographed baseball, but I didn't actually get it.
Yeah. I mean, I've collected stuff for charity, things along those lines, but for my own personal keepsakes, no, that's the last time I got anybody or asked anybody for an autograph. Besides which, do people still do that now, or is it all about the selfie?
I think it's all about the selfie now, right?
It's all about the selfie.
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah. You got to post that on the gram, yo.
or announce where you're signing your next NBA team. This is Neil calling from Los Angeles. Neil, thank you very much. Our Tuesday Trifecta topic today is Be Honest. The rest of the baseball season or next NBA season, what are you looking forward to more? Be honest.
Got to look forward to the rest of the baseball season, because San Diego doesn't have a team.
Oh, there you go. The best place to get more sports news, the best place to get your sports news is, and the worst place is what?
Best place is you can't handle Cruz. The worst place would be Martha, what's going on?
Can I just tell you, this is a 1090 listener. This would be a San Diego listener who's now using different things that we used to use and incorporate into our show.
We got insider jokes is inside of, right, except for you.
Right. The Mighty 1090 crew is all about these references.
You know what? You're doing such a great job. I'm totally cool with one phone call being just dedicated to you. What is the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you would like to tell Darren about?
The most embarrassing would be a Corey Snyder autograph I actually got when I was a kid. As a Padre and Angel fan, I had a Dodger fan, and I unfortunately got that.
You know somebody's walking around with, like, they had an authentic LaDainian Tomlinson jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But that day, Art Spanos walked in front of them, and so they had this guy, the owner, signed their favorite players, and now they want nothing to do with either of them.
Yeah, right. Just crap can both of them at the same time.
Did LaDainian fall out of favor in San Diego?
He did when he went to go work for the LA Chargers. Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, they said absolutely. You know, that was an unforgivable sin to a lot of people in San Diego.
This is Mike, South San Francisco, our final call for today's trifecta. Mike, thank you very much. Let's end on a high note. Be honest. The rest of the baseball season or next NBA season, what do you look forward to more?
The rest of the baseball season, I'm a huge Giants fan.
Buy or sell? That was a trick question.
I'm on the bubble.
Yeah, you should be on the bubble, leaning towards sell, for goodness sakes. The best place where you get your sports news, Mike, is blank, and what do you think is the worst?
Well, 95.7, the best. The worst is Stephen A. Smith.
Thank you very much. Finally, the most embarrassing piece of sports memorabilia you own. What is it?
I bought a plaque with a Tim Lincecum 2008, Cy Young winner, with a ball in it, a picture in a ball, and I realized I didn't get a certificate of authenticity, so I called the guy, and he sent me a blank one.
Oh, like, yeah, we're not going to admit that it's, here's your certificate of authenticity, but not signed by any of the participants to make it an authentic certificate of authenticity. That sounds like you got jobbed, Mike. I got to be completely honest with you. Thank you for the call.
What does that mean, a blank one? Like, just a blank piece of paper? Like, here's your certificate of authenticity, but it has no detail on it whatsoever.
Be like, here's your graduate certificate, no college.
Yeah, here's your diploma. It says nothing.
What'd you major in? Didn't.
College.
Yeah, I majored in college.
It's the Belushi college shirt.
All right, come clean. What's the most embarrassing piece of memorabilia you got?
Two, actually. I was at the All-Star Game in 2004 in Houston, and I paid, out of my pocket, I paid for an autographed picture. Now, some will say that I was more into it at the time. I paid for an autographed picture of Nolan Ryan, right, so far.
Okay, at least it's a Hall of Famer.
With Robin Ventura in a headlock.
Giving him the noogies.
And yes, when Robin Ventura, I believe with the White Sox, charged Nolan Ryan with the Texas Rangers, and he just beat him down. He was about 15 years his elder, and I bought that autograph by Nolan Ryan. They were selling it for about $25 a pop. My second choice was going to be, I got selected when I was in college to take a half-court shot at halftime of a St. John Syracuse game.
Was it at the Garden, or was it at the Carnesecca Arena?
It was at the Garden.
Okay.
19,763, packed house. I was petrified. I went down there, tossed up the old air ball, got the consolation prize, which was a St. John's t-shirt, which I still own to this day.
Nice.
So that's a symbol of my failure and my lack of ability athletically.
It's all right. Half-court shots aren't easy unless your name is Steph Curry. thank you so much for tuning in today. Darren, thank you. Another really fun day. Looking forward to more tomorrow.
Thank you, brother.
And by the way, tomorrow is going to end with a delicious meal. We're going to the House of Prime Rib tomorrow night after the show. We're going to eat like fat boys. Yeah. Elena, you're going to eat like a fat boy, too. Albie's going to eat like a fat boy. The intern's going to eat like a fat boy. Fat boys everywhere. It's going to be a good night tomorrow night. Thanks so much to Rich Aurelia, John Morosi, Peter King, everyone who called in for the trifecta. Great, fun show today. Stay tuned. Covey and Shasky are right around the corner. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
It's good to be the king.